string when you're facing some situations in life. And but I want to read to you a portion of Scripture out of Acts 14. If you'll stand with me, we're going to begin reading in verse number 19. And I've chosen this portion of Scripture because it's kind of, I guess probably some of you young people would say, man, preach that Scripture's kind of over the top compared to what you want to preach about. And I understand, and I wanted to find an over-the-top Scripture to go along with the subject of the message tonight. Let me just bring you up to speed of where things are now in Acts chapter 14. Paul has now been some time on his missionary journey. In some places, he was met with open arms. In some places, he was met with a closed fist. In places like Iconium, in chapter 14, you'll read about that in verses 1 down through about verse number 7. He went into Iconium, began to preach, and there were many of the multitudes there that believed. Both Gentiles and Jews believed. Well, there were some that were in the city of Iconium that didn't care for the message that Paul brought and didn't care for the message of the death, burial, and resurrection. They did not care for the message that he preached, and so some of them began to stir up the people in Iconium. So Paul felt led of the Holy Ghost to go ahead and move on, and he arrives in another town by the name of Lystra. And there, right off the bat, we find in verse number 8 that he healed an impotent man that was crippled from his mother's womb, never walked, and Paul healed him there in Lystra. So God was blessing once again and blessing the message and Paul's ministry. Well, the word obviously had gotten back to some of these wicked men in Iconium and, by the way, in Antioch, and some Jews that didn't care for Paul nor his message. And so what they did is they heard that he was preaching in Lystra, and that's where we're going to pick up the story in verse number 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people. Now, let me just say there, when he says they persuaded the people were convinced that the message that Paul was preaching was the right message. You see, when you persuade somebody, you are literally persuading them from one thing to believe something else. And they had believed that these men were of God and the preaching was of God. Matter of fact, we don't have time, but you can go up and find out. They were actually trying to treat them as probably what many would treat as a celebrity status, because they came into town and the power of God was on them. Well, these wicked men, these Jews from Antioch and Iconium, persuaded the people. Now notice this. Obviously, they raised such a stir among the people. The Scripture says, and having stoned Paul. Now you got to do some pretty good persuading to move some people from amening to stoning. So obviously, whatever these men did, they really got the people riled up. And having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, verse 20, as the disciples stood round about him, notice this now, he rose up. Now, let me just say one thing about this. You can believe what you want to believe. I believe they stoned Paul to death. And the reason I believe that, when you go back and study how they stoned people, they didn't stone you to hurt you, they stoned you to kill you. And did you notice it says, supposing that he was dead? Yeah, I'd say after they cracked your head open with a rock or so, that they drug you out of the city and just, listen, had no concern for his body, just drug him outside the city, threw him out there. Well, his disciples were standing about him, and God says, you know what? I ain't done with you yet, man. And so he rose up, now listen to this, and came into the city. Now, wait a minute, I'm confused. You mean you preached and somebody, these men, these wicked men, came in, persuaded somebody to go from amen into stoning, and they turned them against you, they stoned you to death, drugged your body and threw it outside the city, God raised you up and you go back in? Now that's not even logical. But wait a minute now. The Scripture says, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, listen to this now, they returned again to Lystra. So not only did he get up after he was stoned and go back in, he said, I'll be back. So he goes out, preaches in Derbe, probably had some people saved, and I can imagine him telling Barnabas, I was in prayer time, devotion time this morning, and I believe God wants us to go back to Lystra. Come again? I said, I believe he wants us to go back to Lystra. Now notice he went again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. That's where these guys came from. That's where the troublemakers were. Listen, thing I like about Paul, he didn't run from problems. He confronted problems. I mean, when he'd go into a town, he would create a stir in there. By the way, it didn't take much. All I had to do is mention Jesus. And if you don't believe that, next time in a public place, if you want to cause a stir, mention Jesus. Okay, that's all it took. And so he went to Lystra, where they stoned him, Iconium, where some of these Jews came from, that caused the people of Lystra to stone him, and Antioch. And listen to what he did, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Now, I want to use these passages of Scripture tonight, and I want you to listen carefully, church, because what I'm going to preach to you tonight is not easy to do on a consistent basis, and that is to minister while you're hurting and healing. Ministering while you're hurting and healing. Now, Father, would you bless the time together tonight? Thank you for this story of a great man of God, the Apostle Paul. Lord, who encourages us so much with his life and what he did and how he approached the ministry of Christ. And Father, I believe with all my heart that in his heart, as he saw people that he had ministered to and people that he preached to maybe turning against him for some reason, and some may have been part of the stoning crowd. And I'm sure, Lord, that in his heart and his spirit, he was hurt. But after you raised him from the dead, he went back into the city to minister again. And then back into Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch to minister again. Thank you for the courage of this man who ministered even during a time of hurt in his life. Now, Father, may we learn something of importance tonight that will help us to do likewise in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, church, I must say that we live in a sinful world full of sinful people who pursue sinful ways. You get out into the public forum, you'll find that the world is very ugly. The world is very wicked. And may I say, the world will turn on you in a heartbeat. The same crowd that will pat you on the back today will crucify you tomorrow. And so Paul found this out real quick in a town called Lystra. May I remind you also, church, that this world is also filled with heartaches, conflict, and sorrow. All of us are going to face these times of hurt in life and go through the healing process in life. You see, I don't follow everybody around. I don't know what you face. I don't know what you have faced in life. I don't know everybody's hurts. But I know this, if you've lived long enough, and you've taken a stand for Jesus long enough, there's going to be some hurts, and there's also going to be a process of healing that goes on as well. You see, it's not if we'll get hurt, it's when we'll be hurt. You cannot avoid it. It will come your way. Now listen, you can try to run, you can try to hide, you can try to avoid it all you want, but listen to me, one of the greatest experiences that you can experience in life are certain hurts that God will allow you to go through to help mold you and to make you into the Christian that He needs you to be. There'll only be peace and eternal comfort when we see Jesus. This world cares nothing for the Christian. This world could care less about the church, about the Word of God. And so we understand that when we go out every day, the potential of hurts exists. So in reality, we know hurting times are going to come. And they're going to come to us. So, church, what we've got to do is we've got to be prepared for them so that we'll not stop ministering for Jesus Christ when those hurts come in life. Now, I want to reemphasize and say it again. What I'm presenting to you tonight is probably one of the most difficult things that you will try to accomplish on a consistent basis in your Christian life. Because many times, hurts and the process of healing takes time. And many times, the natural thing to do is when we get hurt or it's time to heal, most of the time, what we do is we withdraw. We do not excel and become more extrovert. We become more introvert when hurts come. And yet God needs us to continue to be ministers even through the time of hurting and through the time of healing. You see, the natural thing and tendency is to stop everything that we're doing outwardly and turn our attention on our hurts inwardly. Now let me just stop and say this. You know, we need to give attention to our hurts. We need to give attention to the healing process. But I don't think I can find anywhere in Scripture that God says shut God and the church and everybody else off during that time. Hey, that's the time that you need the people of God the most. That's the time that you need to be doing something for God the most and not withdraw from the hand of God. Hey, listen, if anybody had the right to say, you know what, as far as Lystra concerned, y'all all go to hell. Paul had the right to say, you know what, I'm not going back to those people. Listen, as far as I'm concerned, they can all go to the devil. But he not only got up and went back into the city, he went to Princeton Derby and then went back again. And then to Iconium and Antioch, where the wicked men came from and preached in their cities. Again, you think he was welcomed with open arms? You think there might have been some people that spoke to him in some vile language? You see, Satan loves, church, to discourage, to disappoint, and to distract people and get their hearts so off of what God's trying to do and their mind off of other people and souls and the work of God. He loves that kind of thing. And he'll get you distracted through a hurt or through the healing process that you're trying to go through. You see, there are people that go through some hurts. Maybe some have been offended. You say, "Oh, preacher, we're not supposed to be." I didn't say we were not supposed to be. I said some do, though. And people get offended. People get their feelings hurt. Maybe something that someone said. Maybe someone goes through a hurt and maybe they've been gossiped about or Twittered about. Or maybe you've been Facebooked. I don't know. You know, I don't check any of those things. As far as I know, I could be next on the list. As far as I know, they may have my name on there to come after Osama bin Laden. I don't know. I don't know what people are saying. You know why? Doesn't really matter. Because I'm still supposed to minister. Amen? Doesn't matter what people are saying. Maybe people get hurt. Maybe they get offended. Maybe they've been gossiped about. Maybe they've been manipulated. Maybe a business deal didn't go over real well, and maybe you held a grudge, or maybe you are hurt over something like that. Maybe you are unfairly treated, criticized, slandered, falsely accused. Whatever the hurt may be, listen to me. You still cannot avoid the ministry and ministering to people. You're going to be hurt. Those times will come in life. There's another group here tonight that may be in the healing process. Maybe you're trying to heal from a bad relationship gone sour. Maybe you're trying to heal from abusive addictions tonight. Maybe you're trying to heal over the loss of a loved one that you loved very dearly and God promoted him to heaven, and you're going through that healing process. Maybe you're going through, or maybe you're trying to heal from failed trust in someone that you had trusted with all your heart, soul, and mind, and they treated you wrong, and now they've breached that trust with you. Maybe a soured friendship. Maybe family disappointments. I don't know what your hurt is, and I don't know what the healing process that you may be going through tonight, but I want to say this to you, church. God's service in God's army and God's how God ministers is through wounded people. His army's filled with wounded servants. And though hurts and healing, through hurts and healing, I should say, is where God loses a lot of His workforce. We're on board with serving God, winning souls, and then a hurt comes or a situation comes and a lot of the workforce of God is lost during hurts and healing. May I say to you, for the lack of a better way to put it, some of God's servants now have stopped ministering or are on the sidelines today because they've been wounded by friendly fire. You know what I'm talking about? When I talk about friendly fire, I'm talking about being hit and wounded by someone on their own side. And now they're finding it very difficult to minister. Now they're finding it very difficult to go out soul winning. Now they're finding it very difficult to do the things of God that they once did because of a deep hurt that came their way. Or maybe a deep loss in their life and in their family. And I want to say to you tonight, church, most of us, I'd probably say the majority of the crowd I'm looking at here tonight, at some point in your life, you've experienced some deep hurts. In various different areas, people that you loved very much, that you thought were behind you 100%, cut your throat. Maybe you were in a business deal and you trusted this person with everything and they bankrupt your company. Regardless of what your hurt is, or the process that you're in right now of healing, let me encourage you, don't stop ministering. Don't stop ministering for Jesus Christ. May I remind you that in our studies, we've studied quite a few people in areas of ministry. And may I also remind you tonight, church, that Joseph had to minister wounded. Joseph was hurt very deeply by his own family that sold him into slavery. But you know something? When God brought him face to face with his brothers, do you know he had to minister to them? And he chose to minister. And listen, he had the power to throw them in prison. He had the power to say, you know what? I'm not going to do this. They mistreated me wrong. I'm not ministering to them. But Joseph ministered to his brothers. Moses also ministered as well to the brethren and helped deliver them. If you'll remember, not too long after that, after he led them across the Red Sea, it wasn't 3 days later, and you know what they're doing? They're murmuring against the man of God. Murmured against him. I know why you brought us out. You brought us out here to die. And by the way, did you know they got up so upset with Moses, they wanted to kill him too. Now, I don't know if I've ever had anybody upset with me to where they wanted to kill me. At least, they didn't tell me anyway. They might have been behind the scenes. But they wanted to kill Moses too. But you know what he did? He continued to minister. He continued to fall on his face before God on behalf of the people. May I remind you that David likewise continued to minister. Now a lot of David's problems came because of his own sin and his own choices. But he still experienced hurt. His own son wanted to overthrow him, and if he'd had his way, would have killed him. But you know what he still did to Absalom? Minister to him. He would rather leave the throne than to have a confrontation with his own son. And you listen to me. If Absalom would have pushed the button and pushed the letter on that, his daddy, I believe with all my heart, would have died. He would have given up and died. You know why? Because he didn't want to raise his hand against his son. David ministered hurt. In our scripture tonight, Paul ministered hurt. You see, God's leadership to Paul was to go back into Lystra and minister to them again. And listen, I don't find anywhere in scripture where Paul said, man, Lord, did you see this knot on my head? I mean, I'm bleeding. And by the way, when you get stoned, okay, they're not throwing wedding rice at you. Okay? They're throwing rocks and stones, and then after they get you unconscious, then they crack your head open. So what I'm saying is, God said, I want you to go back in there. I don't find anywhere in Scripture where He said, well, I can't, I can't minister anymore, Lord. I'm hurt. Look at my head. Look at my nose. Those people did that to me. Well, folks, listen to me. There's a lot of people out there that don't understand. They don't understand where you're coming from. They don't understand the lifestyle that you live. They don't understand that what you're trying to do is introduce them to the one who can provide for them and care for them all the days of their life. They don't understand that. As we mentioned this morning, sometimes you'll speak truth and they'll think it's blasphemy. You'll speak truth and they'll think it's of Belial or of Beelzebub. I want to call your attention, if I could, to John 21. Turn there for just a moment. Turn to John chapter 21. I told you, church, that what I'm sharing with you tonight will be one of the most difficult things and challenges that you'll have in your Christian life, and that is to minister while hurt. Minister while you're going through the healing process. It's a difficult thing, and I was aware of that before I even stood here tonight. But in John 21, let me remind you that Jesus now has been crucified. He has risen from the dead. He has appeared to his apostles now on several occasions. But in chapter 21, if you'll notice there that the scripture says, after these things, Jesus, verse 1, showed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. And Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. Now stop here just a moment. When Jesus called Peter out, he called him away from the fishing business, did he not? Now listen to me, I'm going somewhere with this. When he called Peter out of the fishing business, I don't think he ever intended him to go back to the fishing business. Did you hear me? Because when Jesus called him out, if you'll remember, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of... Never intended him to go back. So that's how we know that somehow disheartened, somehow hurt over the circumstances. And by the way, go check me out. You'll find out that the apostles were so excited because they had every intention of following Jesus and believed that he was going to set the kingdom up now. And now he's crucified, put in a tomb. And now he's already told them that, you know what, now it's I'm going to ascend back to the Father. I think probably down in Peter's heart that hurt. You see, most would think nothing of Peter's move to go back to the fishing business. And then when they made that decision to go back, did you notice that Jesus appeared to them again? You see, they had fished all night, the scripture says, and caught absolutely nothing. And why should they? Jesus wasn't with them. And by the way, dear folks, listen to me. Why should God bless our life when he went through all the suffering that he went through on the cross for you and I? Shouldn't we expect that the servant is not greater than his master? And that we likewise will face opposition and difficulties and hurts? Yes, we will. Let me remind you that those apostles fished all night and caught nothing. Then Jesus questions Peter's love for him. He said, well, why did they go back, preacher? Why did they go back to the fishing business? Probably the same reason that some of us go back. They probably had become restless, maybe uncertain, maybe not knowing where to turn or what to do. You ever been there? You ever been in a place in your life to where you don't know where to go, what to do, who to talk to, where to turn? The hurt's so deep that you don't know what to do. And so they just decided, we'll just go fishing. You see, their hopes of Jesus establishing the kingdom were now dashed to pieces. 3 years of their life seemed like were wasted now. Because now, what do we have? You see, while they were healing from the hurts of Jesus' arrest and crucifixion, They left ministering to go fishing. They left ministering to go fishing. How many of you have ever seen on a wall somewhere, old sign, or somebody put on the door, the old sign, gone fishing? You know where they get that from? Right there. Because when you say, I'm gone fishing, what you're saying is, I'm not here. I'm not available. I'm absent from doing something. And I'm absent because I'm doing something that I want to do. So you know what? I'm gone fishing. But yet Jesus had called these men out and said, I will make you fishers of men. Never intended them to go back. Let me ask you this, church. Does Jesus know all about your life? Did he know all about your life before he ever died for you 2,000 years ago? So you mean to tell me he already knew all your hurts? Did he already know all of the situations that would happen in your life? Did he already know all of the healing, that time that it was going to be required for you to heal from those wounds that maybe that you're going through right now in that healing process? Did Jesus already know all of this? Yeah, he already knew everything about your life. You say, well then, preacher, if he already knew all about my life and stuff, then why does he expect me to go and continue to minister when he knows how I feel? Listen to me now. Let me remind you that Jesus already knew all about your life, just like he knew all about my life, and yet he still said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now listen to me, church. If he already knew what I was going to go through, why would he tell me to go anyway? Because you know something? Without you, he has no hands. Without you, he has no feet and no voice. You've got to make yourself available. He already knew the healing and the hurts were going to come. So that said, church, let me give you a few things here tonight about hurting and healing. I know what Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14 says. I know it says a wounded spirit who can bear, but some of us play off of that way too often. Some of that use that verse as a crutch. And I understand, you listen to me, you listen to me well. You're looking at a preacher. I understand what hurt means. I understand what a wounded spirit means. I understand that. But may I say to you, I made a dedication and a commitment to Jesus Christ a long time ago that I'd give my heart and life to Him and serve Him to the day I died or till I see Him face to face. I didn't know all of these things. I didn't know all the things that were going to happen to my life, and neither did you. So my question tonight is, are you going to keep your vow and commitment or not? Are we going to continue to minister or not? Because the hurts will come. And by the way, a wounded spirit, who can bear? Nobody can, unless you make contact with God. You try to do it on your own, the answer is you can't. But if you make contact with God and build a relationship with Him and put your dependency upon Him, you can bear a wounded spirit. Let me give you a couple things here to think about when hurting and healing. First of all, going through hurts and going through a healing time and process in life, I want to say, number one, it's hard to stay focused on ministry. Okay? It's hard to stay. I'm just going to give you some practical things. That'd be okay? It's hard to stay focused on ministry. Because many times what happened is the hurt that you feel is so deep, and the hurt, many times you begin to look at it and it alone and forget about what's going on around you. And sometimes it's hard to stay focused. It's hard to sometimes keep that point of concentration. Except, but God had told us. And listen, if you don't stay concentrated, if you don't stay focused, it said, where there is no vision, where there is no vision, the people perish. He said, listen, if you quit on me, if you stop during the hurts and stop during the healing times, he said, listen, I understand. And he does understand. That's the reason he said, cast all your care upon me. He said, cast it all on me, for I care for you. Take his yoke upon you. His yoke is easy. His burden's light. Hey, he's making that offer for us to do that. I'm just saying to you tonight, church, that I understand that when hurts come and the healing process you go through, sometimes it's hard to stay focused on ministry. I love to hunt and to fish. I just love the outdoors. I'm quite jealous of Brother and Mrs. Green. They just came back from a week in Colorado. I'm getting my spirit under control up here. I love the outdoors. And you know, when I'm hunting, and whether it be with a bow, I have a sight. That's a little bit different than looking through a scope on a rifle. I've got a line up there on that sight. They have what they call pins. And those pins, you line up, and what you do is you practice with those pins, and you set those at 20 yards and 30 yards and however far out that you think your skill level's at. Well, let me tell you something. When you're hunting with a bow, you better be focused, because you got to put that little pin right in the right place that it needs to be. By the way, one of the things I learned from a man that has hunted all of his life, because I kept hunting, and I'd draw back, and man, I'd have that deer less than 20 yards, and I'd shoot under it and shoot over it. He said, "I know what your problem is." He said, "It's not that your sights are bad or anything." He said, "The problem is you're not focused." I said, "Hey, I see the deer. I'm focused." He said, "But the problem is," he said, "when you pull off," he said, "you need to pick and focus on one spot." He said, "Your problem is when you pull off, you're looking at the entire deer." He says, "You need to put your pin and you need to focus, close that eye, one spot." He said, "I promise you, you won't miss." So I thought, I'll try it out. He's only been hunting 30 years. You know, the next season, I climbed my stand. That deer came out, and I thought, you know what? I'm just going to try and see if he's right. He said, "Yeah, just put it right here, right under that front leg." He said, "Right under that front leg, when that deer raises it, there's a little white spot right there." He said, "Just put your pin, focus on that. Don't look at anything. Don't look at them horns now. Okay? Don't look at anything. You look at that one spot." Boy, I tell you one thing. I was up in that stand, pulled off. That deer was less than 15 yards from me. I focused on one spot. Pow! Man, I love it, that sound, because when that arrow goes through, it goes, pow! You know what? That deer stood there a minute. He didn't know he was dead. He looked around, and then he thought, "Man, alive." He ran off there about 10 yards. He's in the refrigerator. But you know something I learned? You got to focus. And may I say to you tonight, church, that I understand going through hurts, going through a healing process, it's hard to stay focused. It is. I understand it is. May I say to you, number two, it's easy to lose your burden for people. It's easy to lose your burden for people. You see, your tears many times, and folks, listen to me, I'm preaching from experience. You listen to what I'm saying. Many times our tears are for our hurts and not the hurts of others, and not the needs of salvation for souls. You see, it's easy to occupy our time with something else rather than soul winning. You see, it's easy to lose our burden for people. And may I say to you, Satan is a master of guilt. He's a master of guilt. And you know what he'll do to you tonight, church member, to hurt you and cause the healing process to slow down? He'll guilt you. Many times that I've talked to folks and counsel with them, I said, "Listen, I've missed you at soul winning, I missed you," and they'll share some things with me and say, "Preacher, I just feel so guilty. I just feel so guilty." Boy, I'll tell you one thing, Satan is a master at guilt. You see, during those hurts and healing time, it is hard to stay focused. I understand that. It's easy to lose your burden for people. Why? Because the hurts the healing process, you think, you know what, I just don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can be around people. I don't know if I can do all of this. And listen, folks, listen, if you try to do it yourself, you can't. You can't. That leads me to a third thing I want to say. During the hurt and healing time, you become more vulnerable to sin. Are you listening to me? Folks, listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. You become more vulnerable to sin when you go through hurts and healing times. Because what happens many times, we open ourselves up to certain things that we wouldn't open ourselves up to. And we are a little bit more on the fearful side, and we're afraid to go out into ministry because if we go minister while we're trying to heal or while we're hurting, someone out there might reopen that wound. And so therefore we stay away. We don't want to go out. We don't want to get involved. We don't want to do those things. Why? Because we're afraid that someone will say something. And listen, someone may say something by accident and don't even know what trial and tribulation you're going through. And yes, they may. Have you ever accidentally knocked a scab off? Hey, listen, I've had scabs before, and I don't just sit there and go, man, love, I can't wait till that thing scabs or I can't wait to peel that off. Now, how many of you boys, I know you ladies didn't do this, but us nasty boys, you know what I used to do when I'd peel my scabs off? Nasty boys. Peel that scab off. And man, I'm telling you, you talking about beef jerky? Man, I used to chew those scabs. Y'all didn't do that? Well, that must be a Mississippi thing, I guess. But see, during those hurts, let me get off of that. During those hurts and healing time, you say, preacher, you're filthy and gross. I understand. You know what? I ain't been glorified yet, folks, and neither of you. And probably if I had the chance again, I might try it one more time just for old time's sake. You say, that's gross. Well, I'm not going to say that. I was going to say something. I didn't get off of that. You ever think about some of the things you eat and where they came from? But you know, you become more vulnerable to sin and you've got to be careful. Your love for God can wane. Your trust in people can go away. You listen to me, folks. I've talked to people in deep hurts and you know what they told me? I don't trust anybody anymore. I don't trust anybody. And so you know what they begin to do? They begin to withdraw from people because that hurt is so deep. And I understand that, folks. But listen to me. God still needs you. God still needs you to minister. If we're not careful, our devotional time to feed ourselves and to strengthen ourselves will wane. You see, we need to intake. We need that intake so that we can give out, folks. Let me show you a simple illustration real quick. I want to use this balloon for just a moment to illustrate something to you. You see, when we surrender to God and we say, Lord, I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want to be filled with your goodness and your love and your care. And God says, all right, just make yourself accessible to me and I'll fill you. And we do. And so God ministered to us and he does wonderful things for us. And he begins to fill us like this balloon. Man, that's all I had in my lungs. So he begins to fill us a little more. We say, oh, Lord God. Man, the blessings of God are so wonderful. And so what he does is he tells us, he says, now that I've blessed you and cared for you, he says, now what I want you to do is I want you to take some of that and I want you to go to someone else. and let them experience my love and my care. So what he wants to do, that that he's put in us, he wants us to share that and minister to someone else. And as we begin to minister and allow some of that to come out on other people, guess what, folks? The balloon don't get bigger. The balloon diminishes. So you know what we have to do? We have to go back to the altar and say, Lord God, I need you again. I need your filling. He says, no problem. He said, you still got some there? You need some more? Yep. And so he does it again. And so he comes back. And boy, I'm telling you, he really gives me a dose of his love and his care. And you know what he says? He says, now what I want you to do is I want you to go, and I want you to go to this family, and I want you to minister to them because they're going through a problem. You don't have to know what the problem is, but they need the love of God. They need somebody to care for them. They need somebody to invite them to go out to eat with them. And so you know what I do? I come over here, and I let some of that out on old Brother Scott Biedrowski here. He's thinking, ah. Sweet breath. We run low. And what we come back to God. Say, Lord, would you give me a little more? I need some more. Listen, the burdens are heavy. He says, no problem. And so we come to the altar. Tears are running down our face. You know what God does? He said, hang on. I'm going to give you some more. And boy, he really tanks us up this time. He says, now, I want you to share this. I want you to share my goodness and my care with other people. And so, boy, we think, man, alive, I got enough for a lot of people this time. So I come way over here, and man, I just start letting it go on everybody. And listen, and then all of a sudden, things in life don't go like I anticipate them. I no longer come to the altar. I no longer seek the devotional time because a hurt came into my life. And now what's happened now, I have ceased to share and minister with other people. And listen to me. When we stop ministering, we stop that devotion, stop being feeling, filled with the Spirit of God and filled with the ways of God and the love of God. Listen to me. Here's what happens. Because we cease, what happens then is then we cut off the source of us being able to minister to other people. And when we do that, no more. So God says, I need you to minister over here to Brother Waits. And I said, oh, but I'm, he says, I want you to minister. We go over and we, there's no source, there's no escape. Why? Because I've allowed my hurts, I've stopped my devotion time. I've stopped spending time with God. I've stopped coming to church. I've stopped winning souls. And what I've done is I've stopped the source. And now what good am I? Here I am. God, I've still got some of the love of God, some of the care of God in my life, but I'm not sharing it with other people. All I'm saying to you, church, sometimes if we're not careful, we become more vulnerable to sin during our hurts and healing. You say, okay, preacher, what do I do? How do I minister when I'm hurting? How do I minister when I'm going through a healing process in my life? Here they are, three real quick. You ready? Write them down. Number one, rely on the grace of God. May I remind you in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, which is a verse that I love, and if you come into my office, I've got it on a plaque right there on my desk. May I remind you that Satan buffeted Paul. There was a messenger of Satan that buffeted him, lest he exalt himself above measure. And he sought the Lord three times that he might deliver this. And here's God's answer in 2 Corinthians 12:9. Paul said, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now that may not seem a whole lot to you, and you may say, well, this is just kind of typical preaching stuff, and rely on the grace of God. Yeah, the grace of God. Because that's what you and I are going to have if we're going to minister while we're hurting. If we're going to continue to minister while we're trying to heal. You see, that grace is that favorable influence of God, which includes the love of God, the promises of God, the security of God. But did you notice also in the verse, he says, my grace, God said, that only comes from me, my grace is sufficient. It possesses adequate ability. It's able to help you to minister in those hurting times and in that healing process. He also says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect. That word perfect, complete, fully informed. Evidence of God's authority and power. He says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. You ever cried so much that no tears come out of your eyes anymore? You ever been hurt so deeply and wept so much that it feels like your chest is about to explode? And no tears come out of your eyes? And you feel absolutely drained of all energy? He says, that's when my strength is made perfect in your weakness. You see, what I'm saying to you, church, is during that hurting and healing time, God can do some of the greatest works in and through your life if you'll let Him. Number two, I said rely on the grace of God. Number two, ministry is part of the healing process. Ministry is part of the healing process. And I want to go back and use the situation we read just a moment ago about the Apostle Paul. Hey, listen, they stoned him to death. He gets up. God raises him back from the dead. You know what I believe was part of the healing process in Paul's life to ensure his boldness that he was going to need down the road? When God raised him from the dead, okay, Lord, I got a knot on my head, knee hurt, teeth are loose. Okay, what's my next assignment? He said, next assignment's go back in the city. Okay. So Paul goes right back in. You know why? That was part of the healing process. That was part of the process that God was going to put Paul through. Hey, listen to me, church. We've got to continue to give out as you take in. Hey, the ministry, ministering during this time helps you to maintain your purpose and your focus on people. You say, preacher, what if I can't do it to the same degree that I was doing it prior to the hurt or prior to the healing process? Well, then do what you can until you get back to full strength. You see, let God heal you inwardly as you serve Him outwardly. And then here's number three, and I know you're going to think this is off the wall, but folks, I'm preaching from my heart tonight. I'm preaching to you from personal experience. When you go through some deep and severe hurts and difficulties and healing times, you better rely on the grace of God. Number two, I found that part ministering to people and not quitting and not stopping and still winning people to Christ and ministering to people, going out and helping people, I found out that was part of God's plan to heal me through the healing process. And then here's the third thing, and you just take it for what it's worth. Incorporate good godly music into your life. And I'm not talking about some, I'm talking about daily. You know, there's something about good godly music that stirs the soul, that revives the spirit. And you know how I know music is such a controlling factor? It's because, you know what? My wife and I, we've got kajillion CDs just like you do, and boy, we'll put one of those CDs on there, and boy, there'll be a song come on there that reminds us of something. Next thing we know, we're looking across at each other and we're going. Music's controlling. And you know what it can do? The right kind of music, good godly music, can control you and keep you from going the other way. It can keep you and minister to your spirit. Hey, let me say to you, David used it, worked for him. Paul and Silas used it in Acts chapter 16. Worked for them. And may I remind you that in Ephesians chapter 5, it's part of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, the scripture, Paul says, they're speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Did you hear what he said? The Holy Ghost didn't make a mistake. He said, speaking to yourselves. Good godly music will help you stay intact and stay focused. And then, P.S., you need to listen to Scripture on a regular, continual basis. Whether you listen to it on CD, whether you've got it on some type of Go Bible, iPod, I don't care what you got it on, make sure it's the right kind, and then have it. Listen, my wife and I, going through some difficult times, and listen, we read the Bible, and listen to the Bible all the time, but listen, many times when we know that there a hurt has come and through a healing process and God and the Satan is attacked and there's some hurts there, you know what we do? My wife, we just start playing music all day and just let that thing keep running through our house all day long. And then once it goes off, then we'll put the Word of God on. We'll just let Alexander Scorby read the Bible to us. I'm just saying to you, you know what? It is possible to minister while hurting and healing. And let me just say to you tonight, church, don't tie a knot. Don't tie a knot in it. Just come back and let God fill you again and again and again and again. Rely on the grace of God. Rely on the grace of God. You know, ministering, when you're ministering to people, it's part of the healing process. And then incorporate good godly music. Incorporate the Word of God and let it just listen to it all the time. I'm telling you, there's something about good music and listening to the Word of God that stirs the spirit. And you know what it'll do? It'll keep you ministering during the hurting and healing times. Would you bow your head with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many can say tonight, preacher, no question about it, I'm a child of God. I've had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. No question about it. Slip your hand way up high and say, that's me, no question about it. I know if I died tonight or the trumpet sounded, I'd go to heaven to be with the Lord and forever be with Him. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, my prayer tonight is simply that You would speak to hearts. And I know that, Lord, there may be many others that are facing a difficult hour in their life. Maybe they're in an hour of darkness in their life. Maybe some of them are facing financial situations or personal situations or family situations. Or maybe some are hurting spiritually. Whatever their hurt is, Lord God, I pray that tonight would be the night that they would fix that and come and let You do in their heart. Let You pour out a big bucket of grace on their life that they might grab a hold of it and go forward for Jesus Christ. Some, Lord, are going through a healing process. There's still some deep hurts that they're healing from. Maybe from a relationship, maybe from an addiction, maybe from something, Lord, that we don't even know about. But they know what it is. And I pray, Lord God, they'd come and lay it on the altar tonight. Please. Now with the heads bowed and eyes closed, is there one here tonight that say, preacher, I don't know for sure if I died and go to heaven. I can't honestly say that I've been born into the family of God, but I want to be. And if you'd say, preacher, if I died tonight, I can't honestly say that heaven's my home, but You'd let me pray for you. Is there anyone here like that would raise your hand, slip your hand up, say, preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure I'm saved, but I need prayer. Anybody like that? Anybody? All right. Is there anyone here that say, preacher, I'm already saved, but never been baptized after I got saved? I know it's the right thing to do. Would you pray with me, preacher? I need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Anybody like that? Slip your hand up. Say, pray for me, preacher. Anybody? Anybody? All right. Then one last thing. How many would join me in raising your hand tonight and say, preacher, I've got some hurts. I'm trying to go through the healing process right now. And I have lost somewhat my focus. I have lost somewhat my burden for the things of God. My devotion time is not what it needs to be. My soul winning is not what it needs to be. And you'd say, preacher, would you pray for me? Please pray for me. I want to be restored. I want to get back to that place. How many would say, there, preacher, there's some hurts. Or maybe you're going through a healing time right now of something in life. And you'd say, preacher, pray for me. I want to get back on track. I want to refocus. I want that burden for souls back again. How many say, preacher, pray for me? Would you slip your hand up, say, that's me? How many would raise your hand and join me? Say, preacher, that's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. All right, God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, I pray that You'd have Your way tonight, please, in this invitation time. Thank You for the privilege of being able to come boldly before the throne of grace. And there we can find grace. We can find mercy. We can find help in our time of need. And I pray that tonight, Lord God, would You do some miraculous things in this service now as we finish it up in this invitation time in Jesus' name. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me? I'm going to ask Brother Shaddix to begin to sing. If you raise your hand, would you come? Would you come tonight, please? Listen, if you've got some hurts, whatever they are, would you come and lay them at the altar tonight and say, Lord, I'm just going to lay these hurts down here. And would you come and dip your hand and your heart into the grace of God? Would you come tonight? Please. Some of you raise your hand and say, Preacher, I'm hurting. Some of you raise your hand and say, I'm trying to heal for some things in my life. My soul winning hadn't been what it needs to be. My devotion time's not what it needs to be. Would you come and be restored? God needs you, folks. The church needs you. God needs your hands. He needs your feet and your voice.
My Christ who loves me so, wherever he leads, I'll go.
Brother Shaddix, sing it through one more time. Give our folks opportunity to pray. Take care of business for God. Folks, listen to me.